real quick review. Quicker than last week because y'all didn't know the answers last week. So I figured this time when we review it, I'll just give you the answers. The first four chapters of the Gospel of John are all about who Jesus is. 5 to 10, depends on who you read, or 5 to 12 are all about the controversy and the conflict that goes along with dealing with who Jesus is. So when we get to today's reading, if you read the whole chapter from the weekly email, then you know that it begins with the feeding of the 5,000. And then our verses 30 to 35, signs and authority. 40, we jumped down to 41 and read through 52. Human reasoning, signs and authority, and how they go together or sometimes don't go together. And then how humanity can see God and the dangers within how humanity can see God. Because remember, they said to him, "We see." Well, not really. They didn't see very well. So we're going to start with signs and authority, and here we go. He's speaking to the Jews, and he makes a claim to them that he has been sent by the Father, and they would know when he says the Father that he's talking about their Yahweh. So when he said, "Y'all, I've been sent by the Father," they're going to hear him say, "I've been sent by Yahweh." And that kind of strikes a nerve with them, and they say, "Well, you know, give us a sign. Do a little something. Show us a little something what you got so that we might see it, yes, and believe here," not here, but here, "that you really are sent by Yahweh. So what do you got to show? Show us a little something you got that will impress us and we'll believe. Because you know, as a matter of fact, our forefathers ate the manna from Moses." You know that, right? So that was a little sign that Moses was able to work out to show the authority to our forefathers that he was a man of God. "So what have you got?" And Jesus said, "Oh man, you guys got this so messed up." He said, "It's not Moses who has given," that's past tense, "it's not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven." It wasn't Moses. No. Listen, it was God who gave your forefathers the bread from heaven. It was Moses who received all the whining and the grumbling and complaining from your forefathers that made him cry out to God that God would do something. That's where the manna came. It wasn't Moses who did that. It was God in heaven who did that. And as past tense, who did that. But it is my Father, your Yahweh, who gives, not past tense, present tense, who gives today, who gives you the true bread from heaven. The manna wasn't a true bread from heaven. It was just something to feed your grumpy parents and grandparents and great-great-grandparents. That's all that was. It wasn't a true bread. It was just a little nourishment. That's all that was. And Moses' only role he had was to cry out for it. He didn't send it. The true bread is given today by the one who sent me. And then comes this verse here. 33 is next. Key verse. For me, it's the key verse. Because it just wraps up the whole thing ever so nicely. He says to them, "For the bread of God," the bread is what we eat. It nourishes, it gives us substance, it makes us feel good. That's why you eat sandwiches with what? Bread. That's why when you go out to some fancy place to go eat, what's the first thing they drag out to the table is their bread, because it gives you a full feeling, and then they kind of cut back on the portions that you just paid $20 or $30 for, because you leave the restaurant feeling what? "Oh, man, I'm full." Yes, all that bread you ate. Yes. He says the bread, the nourishment, the substance of God for humanity is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Now, I know, as soon as you read that, you thought about the prologue, didn't you? Say yes. Yes. And in the prologue, verse 4, he says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of humanity." So when you read 33, comes down from heaven and gives life, the very essence of life to the world, you know he's talking about who? Himself. He's talking about himself. It comes right out of the prologue. And remember, in every chapter, there's going to be little snippets and tidbits that come right out of the prologue so that you as the reader, when you're reading, you say, whoa, I've read that before. That's out of the prologue. Yes. 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 They didn't quite hear him straight. And they said to him, give us the bread. We'll take it. Where do we go for it? Is that that little Merida hostess discount place in Inverness? We have to go there and get it. Where are we going to get this bread? Give it to us. Give it to us. And I know when you read that, you thought to yourself, that sounds familiar. That sounds like the woman at the well. Because Jesus said to her, if you knew who the was asking you, yada, 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 water springs up for eternal life, you'll never get thirsty, all that kind of stuff. Yes, you remember that? Yes, say yes, yes, yes. And so she says, give me the water, because I don't like coming to this darn well in the middle of the hottest part of the day. Give me the water. And so these guys are saying the very same thing. Give us the bread. This sounds great. And so now they're asking. Don't you see? They're asking Jesus, give us the bread. Give us the bread. And he says to them, okay, here it comes. I'm the bread. I'm the bread. You ask for it, I'm the bread. Whoever comes to me, because I'm the bread, will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me, because I'm the bread, will never get thirsty. Will never get thirsty. And if they had just stopped there, like the woman at the well, you know how she just kind of was thinking and contemplating and wondering about all the stuff Jesus was telling her and mulling it over in her mind in a positive way, trying to straighten all this stuff out. And she runs off into the village to kind of get some affirmation. If these guys had just stopped right there and just kind of mulled this over in their heads, kind of a positive thing, kind of like, well, you know, it could be, maybe yes, maybe no. Go ask somebody else. We found this guy who's saying all this stuff. But they don't do that. They could have gotten it, but they don't do that. All of a sudden, in the minds of these men, human nature kicks right in. And you know what they started to do? It's the worst thing you and I can do sometimes. You know what they did? You know what they did? They started to think about it. They started to think about it. And their thoughts run deep in the wrong direction. When we begin to think, sometimes we think positively, sometimes we think less than positive. When we begin to think about God and spirituality, miracles and needs, the prayer for the folks with the storm and all that kind of stuff, if we begin to think, then the danger is we open this door. And the little guy who sits right here with the pitchfork in his hand, a long curly tail, you know who he is, right? He begins to whisper in the ear what we should be thinking about. Yes? And pretty soon in our thinking, we begin to think, well, the created, that'd be us, is equal to, maybe even a little better than, the creator. And when we begin to think like that, and we don't use those words, but the thoughts start to percolate and percolate. And we begin to form negative perceptions and assumptions about God. It's as if we're automatically putting God in a little tiny box and slamming the lid down on that box and putting our foot on it to make sure he can't get out any way possible. And when we do that, we're beginning to limit all the possibilities, all the boundaries, all the parameters of what God can do. Because we would say, well, we need help with this. And someone says, pray about it. And in our little minds, we start to think, well, I would pray about it, but God can't do anything about that. Why not? Because I got him in this box. I got him in my box right here. And he ain't getting out. Because I'm in charge of the box in my little mind. You see how dangerous this is? When we think like that, suddenly, God can only do in our minds what our minds will allow us to think he's capable of doing. And that's not much. That's not much, because we're not real smart. Now, some of you are real smart. but you're not that smart. And this then is the evidence of sin, and that is the evidence that leads to greater sin. You say, well, how can that be? There's no sin in this story on these guys' parts, are there? Oh, no, not much. Until you get to the first part, 14 verses. In the first 14 verses, if you remember the reading, they've heard about the miracles. They heard about the healings. And so they go and track Jesus down and the disciples. And if you remember the reading, they all come out in this big, big field, and it's getting late. And Jesus says to one of his disciples, y'all need to run out to Sweet Bay and get these guys some food. And the guy said, holy cow, if we had a ton of money, we couldn't buy enough bread to feed these guys. And so he feeds them with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Yes? Then night comes, Jesus and the disciples get on a little boat. They go across the Sea of Galilee. These guys wake up the next morning. They hunt Jesus down because what? They want more bread. They want more feeding. He fed them in the afternoon. They wake up in the morning hungry, and they want more food. They want more feeding, physiologically, mentally feeding. They're not thinking spiritual. They're just thinking, feed us, feed us, feed us, feed us. So they hunt him down. But don't you see, this is the deal. They first said to him, give us a sign. We want to see you do something really cool. Give us a sign. But wait a minute. The reason they're even talking to him is because they heard about all the signs. And then once they met him, he did a sign. He fed them with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They've received all the signs they need. But he's trying to pick it up a notch. He's trying to raise them. He's trying to push them just to... Yes, he's trying to push them just a little bit more. And they say to him, we need another sign. That wasn't good enough. We need another sign. So give us another sign. And that takes us into verse 41. At this time, the Jews who were there began to grumble. You know what that word grumble means? It means complain. But that word is only used twice here and when Jesus says it in the New Testament. That's the only place it's used in the New Testament is here. Because Jesus is speaking the word here that the authors of the Old Testament used to describe the activities of the Israelites in the desert. And those texts say that the Israelites all got together. They were grumbling, 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 grumbling. You know how that is, grumbling, grumbling, grumbling. That same word for grumbling in our Old Testament, Jesus is speaking it to these people when he says to them, stop grumbling. He's saying to them, you're acting just like your forefathers. You're no better than your great forefathers were, for heaven's sake. Stop it. And what he's really saying to the reader, human nature really doesn't change much, does it? It just doesn't change much. These guys are acting just like their great, great, great forefathers acted hundreds of years ago. Because they began to think. They began to think. Adam and Eve and the talking snake. God puts them in the garden. Everything's rocking along pretty cool. The talking snake comes up, has a little conversation with Eve. In that conversation, he's up on her shoulder, whispering into her ear. And suddenly she says, well, you know, the tree does look good for eating, doesn't it? And the snake says, he ain't going to kill it. I'm going to kill you. You're the only two folks around. If he kills you, what's he got? So he's not going to kill you. And she begins to think, that could be true. He ain't going to kill us. That's nonsense. And what's she do? She runs over and gets one of the pieces of fruit, rubs it on her shoulder, and the deal's been done because she thought about it. She thought about it. She reasoned it out in her little pea brain that I'm equal to God. He's not going to kill me. And you know what these guys are thinking? They're all kind of standing together, and suddenly one of them says, hey, wait a minute. We know that boy. You know who he is? No, who? You ain't gonna believe it. It's Mary's boy. Mary who? Mary and Joseph, you fool. Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph's boy. Are you? Yes. Well, I got some of Joseph's stuff in the shop. That's his boy? Yes. Well, that boy came from Nazareth. That boy didn't come from heaven. He came from Nazareth. How can he say, yes, he came from Nazareth? See, they're thinking, and they're thinking, and they're thinking, and they're thinking, and they're thinking in the wrong direction. And the farther they think, the farther they think, the farther away from him they get. And finally he says to them, just stop grumbling. You're acting just like your forefathers did. And they didn't win any prizes for being smart. So you stop it. Just stop it. Stop grumbling. And then in these verses now he begins to explain to them, hoping, you know, if I just explain a little bit, they'll get it. It'll be great. They'll understand, and we'll all go home singing Kumbaya or whatever. He says to them in 44, no one comes to me. Who's me? The bread of life. No one comes to the one who gives life. No one comes to the one who can give you what you need that you never hunger or thirst again. No one comes to me unless the Father, who is their Yahweh, who sent me, draws them, and I will raise them up to eternal life. To eternal life. And that sounds really good, but then they're thinking, wait a minute. What's this draws them stuff? What's this draws them stuff? What's that mean? Next verse, he says, because, you know, he knows. And he says to them, hey, y'all remember what was written by the prophets? And they said, no, what? He said, this is what was written by the prophets. They, your great ancestry, they will be taught by God, which means God will reveal himself to them. God will pour his life into them. God is going to give as much of himself to them as he can possibly give. And everyone who has heard doesn't mean with your ears, heard means with your heart. Everyone who has received in their heart what God has poured into them and has learned, which is means to live it. So all those who receive in their heart and live what God has poured into them, you know what they do? He says, then they come to me. They come to me because I'm the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. To who else would you go? I'm the bread of life. And while he's talking to him, you know, he must have thought to himself, let's just deal with this manna mess too. Let's just take care of that real quick too. And so he says to them, hey, y'all mentioned them, your ancestors. What wonderful folks they were. They ate the manna. Any of them at your house today? Any of them in nursing homes today? No. Why? Because he died. They ate the gift of nourishment. They ate the gift of heavenly bread sent by the Father, by the cries of Moses, and it sustained them for a period of time, and they died. They died. Because it wasn't the true bread of heaven. It was just manna. And they died. But standing in front of you right now is the true bread of heaven. Here it is. The one that came down from heaven. And anyone may eat and not die. Here it is. Where's your ancestors at? Where are they? Here's the real bread standing right in front of your faces. Here it is. I'm that living bread. This is the next verse. That came down from whoever eats will live forever. Now, you know, if he'd have just stopped right there and thus said the rest, things might have turned out a whole lot better. But, you know, Jesus is just going to tell it the way it is. And if he's saying to them, I have bread, I am bread, what do you eat? What do you do with bread? Well, you don't put it on a leash and go walk it. You don't get in and drive it. You don't pour water on it like it's going to grow. You eat it. You eat, and they know what you do with bread. And so if you're going to eat the bread, then he has to clarify what eating the bread means. And he says, you know what? This bread is my flesh, and I'm going to give it for the life of the world. That's twice he said that now, life of the world. My flesh is for the life, and my flesh is the bread of heaven. I've been sent to give my flesh to you for the life of the world. It's the bread of heaven. And they said, mm-mm. Mm-mm. This guy's crazy. 52. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. They began to grumble once again. How can he give us flesh to eat? This is the craziest thing I've ever heard. We got to go. We're done. Let's just go. We're done. And that's the way it ends. That's the way it ends. Because the Jews wanted to receive God and relate to God in a few particular ways. And the first one is they wanted to do it by using and being connected by inappropriate and wrong theology. And that theology is their theology of Moses and the manna. That Moses brought the manna out of heaven not their Yahweh. And so they have their theology a little mixed up, but they want to try and connect to God through that inappropriate theology. They want to make a connection to God that is going to greatly limit their future possibilities because they're acting and basing everything on those ancient traditions that says, for you to have credibility, for us to have faith and trust in you, then you need to do something really cool right now. Let's see what you can do. Call something out of the sky or make something happen. Do something cool because you need to do something for us to have faith and trust in you. But you know what? He's going to do it later and it's going to be on a cross. And they won't see that as a sign. They're going to say, well, I told you he was a loser. Look what happened. Look what he did to him. He ain't no Messiah. They want to relate to God through lost and flawed understandings of the scriptures because Jesus gives them back their scripture. And they're like, oh, is that what that means? Yes. Oh, we didn't know that. Oh, no, you didn't, did you? And they have a limited definition of who Jesus is. Who they think Jesus is. Oh, that's Joseph's boy. We've known him for all his life. Yeah, Nazareth. Yeah, that's that kid, yeah. So they have a very limited definition of who Jesus is. And that's how they want to connect back to Yahweh. And it won't work. It won't work. And so that piece of scripture that Jesus gives them, you know, that everyone will be taught by God. And if you're here and you learn, you come to him, but it's not going to work for them. Because they can't get their heads around it. They just can't go there. So when he talks about being the bread of heaven, nah, that's not going to work either. That's not going to work either. They just can't get this. But the good news is you do. We do. We know who the bread of heaven is, and we know what it means to eat bread. We know that when we're famished, starving to death, and you're on the car, and you're on a road trip, and you're going somewhere, and then you don't have time to stop at Mickey D's or any place else, but then finally you remember, I got this bread in the back. And so you reach, you're driving 80 miles an hour down I-75, and you're reaching, well, this is what I would do, you're reaching in the back trying to find that loaf of bread, and finally you found it. You're not texting. That's bad, right? Texting is bad. You're just finding the bread. So you get the bread and you pull it out and you pull out a piece and it's got this green funky stuff on. So you throw it out the window and you dig to the bottom of the loaf and you find a one good piece of bread. And you know what you do? You eat it. And suddenly, you calm down. You feel a little better. You're not jittery anymore. Just a little more peace, because the bread nourished you. You ate it, and it nourishes you, and it gives you peace, and it gives you grace, and it gives you forgiveness. And we know that that's all Jesus stuff. We know that. But the danger is, there are still days when I will think in the wrong direction. It's like, well, you need to do such and such. I guess. Saying that God can only do what I think God can do or think God will do. And as soon as I do that, he's in the box. I put the lid on real tight to keep him in it. To keep him in it. And that's where the danger is. You can open the box and let him out. Because his desire is to do so much more in my life and in your life than we could ever possibly imagine. Can't begin to imagine the desires of God to bless our lives. Can't begin to imagine. Can't begin. It's beyond our comprehension. You couldn't make a list of the things God wants to do for you because you just couldn't think of them. And you don't even know what he's already done for you today. You don't know what he's done for you next week. You don't know what he's already done for you a year from now. You're not there, but he's already done it for you. And he's just waiting for you to get there a year from now to see it and discover it. It's just how much he loves you. Because he's the bread of life. He's what nourishes you. We have something for you today. We want you to be able to taste the bread of life. So you've heard it and you've seen it. We want you to taste it. We want you to taste this warm sweetness. So we have a gift for you today. And there'll be people with the gifts. If you go out those two doors, they'll be out there. If you go out the center door, they'll be out there. And they're going to have little baskets. And they want to give you something. So don't be shy. They're not going to charge you for it. They just want to give it to you. So when you go out there and you see someone with a little basket, you know what you should say? You should walk up to them and say, this is very biblical. Yes, biblical. What time is it? It's biblical. You should say, give me that bread. That's what they said. Remember that? Remember we read that? Yes, the Jews said, give me that bread. Okay. So when you go out there, just say, hey, give me that bread. Give me that bread. And they got something for you. It's great. It's real good. But it's only a taste of what the bread of life has for you. Pray with me. We love you so much. And it even sounds weak and flippant to say that. Because you're so much a part of who and what we are. You just love us and sustain us and forgive us. You fill us. Keep us out of the danger of thinking wrongly too much, if at all. Let faith and hope and trust always have precedence over negative thinking. We ask it in His holy name. We ask it in the name of the bread of life today. Amen.